GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Welcoming back to Spacious Studio 7A, UMaine System Chancellor Jim Page.
Good morning.
Even having a cold coming into our studio and still managing to join us. Across the table from you is the chair of the UMaine Board, Jim Irwin. Jim, I'm not sure we've ever had you on our program before. Is this your first time on the George Hill Rick Tyler Show?
Indeed it is, and thank you for having me this morning.
Wow. No, it's nice to have you both in here and find out what's going on. We were just commensurating here that it was 7 years ago that Jim was in. We were talking about taking over the University of Maine system and some of the problems that we were facing. You took over in 2012. The system, well, to be fair, was struggling financially. Is that a fair comment?
That's a fair comment. Yeah.
Maybe you could describe for us, what was the university system going through in 2012 as you walked into it?
Well, it was and I apologize for the sound of my voice. I mean, I've got this cold, and
we never apologize for the sound of our voices. You're fine.
The system in 2012 was right at the cusp of a number of converging items, and costs we'd built a system that was not really well positioned, and whose resources weren't really well allocated to benefit the students and the rest of the state optimally. We faced rising costs, and especially part of a national trend as states diminished the amount that they were putting into public higher education that was falling to students and their families. And we'd come through many years of increases, year over year increases in tuition, which were not sustainable. Not sustainable if we were going to fulfill our mandate of being a public university available and accessible to all Maine people. So the trustees, just before I came in, had frozen tuition, not because there was a lot of money, but just to put a line in the sand and stop that trend, and that was critical. The second thing we did was we really began to question and look at the arrangement by which there were effectively 7, 8, if you count the system office, oftentimes redundant, repetitive uses of funds. There were seven or eight chief technical officers, chief information officers, etc., and we consolidated an enormous amount of that. So over the course of a few years, we reversed that trend, becoming one of the most affordable public university systems in the nation, reallocating monies towards student aid and reducing headcount, frankly, which is never easy and never a pleasant thing to do, but allowing us to open up, giving us the resources to open up and really give the trustees room to reallocate those resources and move them toward how they could better benefit our students, our businesses in the state, and ultimately the communities of the state.
Well, Jim Irwin, you're chairman of the board, and today Mr. Page is going to announce a retirement.
It is. This is this was a very significant time in the system's history. We've had a tremendous 7 years of service from Jim Page, and we can't thank him enough for the leadership that he's shown addressing the very things that he just talked about. The timing of this, I think, is important to connect his retirement with where the board is in terms of strategic direction for the system. Later today, we'll be voting on a resolution which creates four primary goals and a series of actions to achieve those goals, where we've recently been hyper-focused on some externalities that are really affecting us in a big way, namely demographics, workforce, and rapid changes in the market for higher education. And we've got to stay up on all of those. So this next series of goals and actions has probably a five-year runway. And so the question is, to Chancellor Page, are you in for five more years or not? And it's either or. So we've been talking about this for a while. You know, what's the best leadership scenario for the system? And so he ended up at a place where he thought this is a good time to make that transition. We're well positioned as a system because of his leadership to do that. And I think the board has a good vision going forward. So that's where we are.
Jim, let me stick with you. Jim Irwin, I should say, let me stick with you. How do we find the next Jim Page to guide the university system down that five-year runway and beyond?
Well, we're going to conduct a national search. We'll scour the nation looking for the right set of leadership skills that can manage this process going forward. I mean, we still have a lot of change process going on within the system, given that we have a 50-year history of being essentially seven independent universities, and we're moving as rapidly as we can towards a much more unified approach. This is the one university model that the chancellor's been supporting since he arrived. So we're going to look for the right leader who can, in a very collaborative way, get the best out of all of the campuses and align them towards making sure every campus is focused on the overall needs of our state and our state's economy and our students.
We have to keep our gyms separated here this morning. Jim Page, budgets. You have multiple campuses. You started in the red. Now we're into, I guess you had maybe a $90 million structural gap when you started, something like that.
That was what would accumulate over 5 years. Would be, if we didn't do anything to reverse our trends, in 5 years we would have accumulated a $90 million deficit, which was impossible.
So other states have done certain things. Did you look at other states? Maine is, if you look at state institutions around the country, some are, you know, wealthier than others, obviously, wealthier states. But did we compare ourselves to similar states to see how they solve their problem?
We did. There's no state that matches us perfectly in this. So we had to use different states for different areas of measurement. But there's, in effect, 50 experiments going on across the country, and we used the best from wherever we could. Meeting these financial challenges, we've done as well as anybody in the country.
Jim Erman, over to you. I'm wondering, what are the three biggest challenges that the next chancellor of the University of Maine system must address?
Well, let me start with demographics, and the trends are difficult for Maine. They're difficult for much of the country. The Northeast is in the worst position with respect to a decline in the demographic cohort of traditional students. So our high school graduates have been declining in number since about 2010. They're going to continue to do that till about 2030. They take a rather steep drop in 2026 because of what demographers call a birth dearth around the country in 2008 because of the recession. So we just don't have the pipeline of students that we've had in the past, and we obviously have to make sure that we manage that potential contraction in traditional student population, and we're competing more and more ferociously with other institutions around, particularly around New England. Mm-hmm. We've had some success there, but you know they push back with tuition discounts and things like that. So that's one challenge. Another challenge is, of course, Maine's workforce crisis. Very important for the university system to be accessible to any student anywhere for any program. That's a goal. That's a vision. It'll take a while to get there, but that's what we need to get to, so that the economy of the future, which is going to require more and more post-secondary credentials, we make that economy accessible to our citizens. And the third is academic relevance. I mentioned earlier a rapid change in the market for higher education. We're seeing an unbundling of the traditional things like the bachelor's degree. Students want to access the specific courses and programs that improve them vocationally without having to do an all-or-nothing four-year degree or to do it over time. And we have to make sure that our programs are available to them in the ways that they want and need to access them, including much more online and just more flexibility, and obviously all the while controlling cost.
You came out of the business world, and at least you've got both academic and business credentials. Right. If you were to pick a successor to yourself, what kind of background would that person have? Because you know, as they often say in this world, you know where the bodies are buried, and you know where the numbers are. And I know that you're going to be any new chancellor will be kicked around by changes in enrollment, tuition, all that kind of stuff. Right.
I think the someone who has an understanding and an appreciation of the culture of the academy is critical. the way the academy works is like any large kinds of institutions. They have their own environment, their own ways of doing things. So an appreciation of that, but also somebody who and these are not incompatible, but somebody who can read a spreadsheet and read a balance sheet. I think we've set up a system by which the financial challenges that were there 7 years ago won't be repeated. But they still, it's ever vigilance. You know, every day is a new day, and you have to be looking forward. You have to be understanding the trends, and you have to have an appreciation of Maine and how Maine is set up and works, and all the different currents, social, economic, area currents that are at work, and have a real appreciation for those differences. That what works in Presque Isle and Fort Kent is sometimes has some similarities, but is also very different from what it happens in Farmington or Portland or in those regions. So it's a big job. There are lots of nuances to it, but if people, if leadership, whether it's the chancellor or the presidents or whomever, play that sort of role of being the intersection between their local concerns and local needs and the statewide, how the state works as a whole, that's a good balance. So a combination of an appreciation of the academy, some financial acumen, and the ability to listen closely to what the people in communities in Maine are saying.
That's UMaine System Chancellor Jim Page. Along with us is UMaine Board Chair Jim Irwin. Jim Page announcing that he's ready to step back, retire after a time. Just a short question for you, Jim Page. Is there anything on your to-do list in your time as chancellor that you just didn't get a chance to check off?
Well, I've still got 6-7 months on the current schedule,
all right.
And there's some good the work that the trustees have set out means that it's not a just an easy glide path down through the winter and spring. There's a new administration, a new legislature in place. We need to, as we always have to do, we have to go and establish our case with each legislature, with each governor. There's a lot of work to do there. The kinds of initiatives that the trustees are starting out this five-year path, there's planning work to do between now and then. So there's always things that elements that are here or there that you'd say, I wish I had an extra 2 months or $10,000 to work on this or that. But what's really critical in this is a natural extension. The work that's going to take place under my successor's administration and with the trustees is a natural extension of what we've been doing for these last several years. So just making sure that that transition works well.
The new chancellor that comes in, Jim, is facing some challenges. Many challenges. You had a surplus of $8.2 million in November. I was looking, your annual budget's $551 million, but I see a projected deficit in 2022 of over $12 million and $13 million in 2023. So there's some financial challenges ahead for the new chancellor.
Oh, I think that's absolutely correct. The financial challenges and the projections that you're looking at are driven largely by our projection of enrollment and the effect of the demographic environment we're in, and by costs that we don't have any control over, such as healthcare, things that just are naturally going to escalate, and contractual obligations with our workforce. So, we will always be it'll always be a challenge for the system to manage its finances in a responsible and efficient way. And the tools that the chancellor's put in place over the last 7 years make that a much more manageable job. We're very grateful for that. But there's no panacea to the challenges that our system has and that higher education has. We're going to be in choppy waters for a while to come. We're just in a very good boat right now, thanks to his leadership. And one last thing I would also say is I want to shout out to the governor for the trustees that he's appointed. We have a very good board, a very cohesive board, No one has an agenda other than the good of the state and the needs of our students and our workforce. So I feel like we're in a really good position to go through a transition, which will always be, they're always a challenge, but we're well positioned to do it.
Jim Irwin, final question with a quick answer, if you could. Did you try to get Jim Page to stay?
Well, we certainly talked about whether he really wanted to work as long as it was going to take to get through this. And it really wasn't a very long hem and haw on his part, I don't think. So I got the message quickly when the facts were on the table.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.